Bounce pass entry to Sabonis on the wing. Moves to the top of the circle. Hands to Malik. Slips it back to Sabonis. He kicks to Fox. Sidesteps the defender Reeves. Launches. Scores the three. That could be absolutely huge. We're in the final minute of the fourth quarter. And Fox makes it 118-105. It's the 19th three-pointer the Kings have made tonight.
Live and local, it's Styles and Watkins. Watch the show on youtube.com/SacktownSports1140.
Or listen on the Sacktown Sports app.
It is time. Live Nation has teamed up with Sacktown Sports for your chance to see local legend Hasan Minhaj at the Safe Credit Union Performing Arts Center from beautiful downtown Sacramento on March 29th. All you have to do is hit up the Folsom Lake Honda hotline right now. Looking for caller number...
Six.
Caller number six. To score that pair of tickets to pull up for Hasan's comedy homecoming. For more information, visit SacktownSports.com. Caller number six, 916-339-1140. I'm watching the phone lines too, because six, that's a number. You're waiting. When is the right time? Caller number six, 916-339-1140. Everybody's waiting right now. Here they come now. Good luck to everyone who wants to see Hasan Minhaj perform at the Safe Credit Union Performing Arts Center. Now, Chris.
Yes, sir.
Nobody is perfect.
That's what they say.
And the Kings were not perfect over this two-game stretch either. Mm-hmm. But they did get the W's, right? One thing that I don't even know how they fixed this, because we just talked about the fact that there's supposed to be less fouls being called, but did it feel like they were still too handsy? I mean, I know we're talking about last night, but two nights ago, there's one where Sabonis got caught in between somebody sent a screen, and Damian Lillard just gave him a shoulder, and the foul was called on Sabonis.
Yeah.
So how much of this is these guys got to continue to be better, and how much of this is, to your point, they just played the two biggest foul merchant teams, two of the biggest foul merchant teams in the league?
I mean, I'm leaning more towards the fact that they were just two really bad matchups. I mean, the Kings, I'm looking at it here, the Kings in the two-game set here, the Kings shot 28 free throws. They allowed their opponents shot 57. That's ridiculous. And I know De'Aaron talked about it yesterday, just the discrepancy of those, and you know, if there's something nefarious going on with favoritism and stuff with teams that they play. I think that it's more just so that. I think that it's you play the Lakers and you play Giannis and Dame. Those dudes are going to – I mean, Giannis had, what, like 10 free throw attempts even at halftime?
Yeah.
You're not going to play many teams. Like when they play the Knicks on Saturday, I have a tough time seeing Josh Hart or even Jalen – if Jalen Brunson goes to the line eight times, maybe then we can have a conversation about maybe the Kings are too physical at the point of attack. But even then, I think it's important. I think that – it might just have to be a trade-off of, okay, would you rather foul too much but be handsy and maybe it lead to overall better defense because, you know, you set the tone early and maybe you got to set a precedent, right? Like at the start of the game, if you're handsy, by the end of the game, they're probably going to let a lot slip because you set the tone of, well, this is how we've been playing defense all day, so how was it not a foul at the start of the game? You know, it's the consistency thing. I would say, if Jalen Brunson ends up going to the line that many times, that probably shows that this team is too handsy. But I would rather have them be handsy and pick up fouls than just let guys go by and not pick up fouls and be a bad defense. So if being handsy and picking up fouls is the way that the Kings have to feel like they're locked in defensively, beggars will not be choosers here. I will take what I can get with this team, and I'm fine with it. I think them showing any sort of defensive intensity is something I'm not going to have any problem with.
Yeah, and especially when the Kings haven't been great defensively historically these last couple years, you have to choose from something. And if you're right in the wave of this pace of free throws being the least amount of free throws since 1950 or 1951, you just have to take advantage of that and just use it to propel your team in maybe a way that you weren't normally able to propel in the past. And you got the guys to do it. The quick hands of De'Aaron Fox, the big body of Keegan Murray, even a guy like Harrison Barnes being able to be a little bit physical to make up for what he may lack in stature with some of those matchups. Yeah. I mean, AD, he was doing his best against AD last night. Harrison Barnes is, I don't really know if tweener is the correct word, but he is the closest thing the Kings have to that longer defender for the guys that are just a little bit bigger than Keegan Murray. He's just not there yet. The same way Keegan Murray can guard guys that are a little bit quicker than what Harrison Barnes can guard.
Right.
So if you can take advantage of that, I mean, the sky is really the limit.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this team is definitely getting over a hump here. I mean, the fact that against the Lakers and the Bucks, I think the fact that they hold both of those teams to under 107 points, both of those opponents, like I definitely feel like, you know, that's one of those where if you can hold these two teams, why can't you hold the Raptors to under 110 points? I feel like 110, De'Aaron talked about it in his press conference there. I think that's the number that the Kings have to try and eye to say, if we can hold our opponents under this, we just really have to feel good about our chances. And if we don't win those games, it's probably more on our offense then. And that would be a welcome loss almost. Is, hey, the Kings didn't win this game because of their offense. Well, I would probably say that's not going to be the case most nights. So I can live
right
with that.
Right. Yeah, there haven't been – well, I don't want to jinx anything. Yeah, no. But those ice-cold nights where it's they did everything right, but they just can't buy a basket. Yeah. They're always going to find a way to manufacture a basket. It's about manufacturing a stop.
That's right.
That's what they've – had to try to do. From the 916, does Mike Brown strongly consider letting Keon start in place of Herter going forward? Kevin Herter may or may not have his shot, but Keon Ellis will always have that defensive intensity.
Yeah.
So straight up, right after the game, you know, this is what happens when Keon plays well. It's I guess pick your poison if you're Coach Mike Brown. He was asked about it prior to the game. Prior to the game against the Bucks, he was asked about it in the post game. Mm. He was asked about it in the pregame against the Lakers, where essentially he took the question the rest of the way to say, is this a, essentially the question was leading to, is this a pseudo tryout?
Yes.
With Kevin Herter being out as opposed to Keegan, where you're clearly filling in. Mike Brown said, no. Okay, he almost hit him with the Nick Saban.
Yes.
So he's
quit asking.
And quit asking. He's probably close to that.
He is.
So here he is again during the post game when he was basically asked about what goes into making a decision like that.
There's a lot that goes into it. It comes down to feel. Kevin gives us a lot too. And, you know, does it make us better with Kevin or Keegan or HB coming off the bench just to start Keon? I don't know. I don't have that feel yet. You know, you can always bring Keon in the game early. Keon can still average 20, 25 minutes a game if need be. And so kind of like Malik, it can give us the luxury of, A, obviously finishing the way we want to finish, but playing different lineups based on the flow of the game, because we might go out there and the flow of the game might be in our favor with whoever's starting. Okay, let's ride with that. Okay, they want to make a run or they want to do this. You know, you got Malik, you got Keon, you got Davion coming off the bench, and it just adds to what is already a very, very good bench.
It's the depth thing. Yeah. It's the depth thing.
Right.
He doesn't want to lose. Maybe you're assuming what Kevin Herter can do on the bench or coming off the bench. You don't have to assume what Keon Ellis is going to give you off the bench.
Right, and I also think that it is a bit of, you know, we saw how it can look if the Kings are clicking offensively at the start of the game on Tuesday. If how quickly we might forget. You know how amazing, like how fun was that on Tuesday to just see the Kings come out on fire. Like, and Kevin Huerter was a huge part. I think he had like 8 points in the first 2 minutes of the game. And like, I think that's what Mike Brown is hoping for from Kevin in that starting lineup is you just get off to the right foot. And that's kind of what he's talking about there, I think, is he said, you know, we can always get Keon in the game early if it dictates it. But, you know, if Kevin, and it's what I've said about why I think he prefers, you know, Kevin Huerter over a guy, you know, over other people, is just if Kevin Huerter gets going, it's for the best of the team. That's how this team reaches their peak offensively, is Kevin Huerter being involved. And if you can get him involved early, I mean, that's gonna bode well for the rest of the game. But if it takes him a while to get into the rhythm of the game, you might not ever get a Kevin Huerter. And, you know, there's definitely some circumstances here where you're not getting him anyway, but at the least you're finding it out early, as opposed to, you know, Mike hasn't been afraid to have that quick pull for Kevin either. He's played 20 minutes on a handful of nights. So, you know, I do think it's I think maybe Mike Brown is making it out to be less of a deal than what it probably should be. Like, I think it probably should actually be something he considers, or at least has a meeting about, as I like to say. But, you know, at the same time, I do think a lot of this is, for better or worse, protecting Kevin Huerter's emotions in a way. Like, I think he's a shooter, and the last thing you want to do is get in a shooter's head and make them feel more pressure than I'm sure they already do. So it's a tough balancing act, and you put it perfectly. I think it was in the last segment saying you can't really coach everybody the same way. Mm-hmm. And yes, ripping minutes from somebody might get a really good reaction out of one player, but Mike Brown clearly thinks that you know, if he makes Kevin feel bad enough, it's going to start affecting his play, and that's obviously not good for this team to just completely lose Kevin Huerter.
Seeing the text come in on the text line, and it's safe to say that a lot of people don't agree with Coach Mike Brown from the 707. Coach, how do you not know Ellis's defense presence is a game changer for this team? We're 6-0 when he starts. If you can't figure that out, you probably shouldn't be coaching. That's a little much, 707. That's a little much from the 916. If Keon is scoring 10 or more points a game, then you almost have to start him. The value he provides on the defensive end already gives him an edge, in my opinion. Huerter hasn't been scoring much anyway. Now you add in offense from Keon, it's a no-brainer. We've heard from Coach Mike Brown. We've heard, continue to come in with your calls and texts and Sack Chat as well. But Chris and I have been speaking as far as how Mike Brown is looking at this. We give our opinions on what we think should happen when we return. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Something that we are monitoring as the Niners have moved on. They have moved on from Arik Armstead. A dark horse emerges. Jaguars are closing in on a deal to add a huge presence to their defense as they are set to sign former defensive tackle for the Niners, Arik Armstead. This is per Schefter, or Ian Rapoport, but it's not a done deal yet.
It's not a done deal yet. Not official, but seems like, you know, those things don't just come out. And it seems as if things are probably heading that way. But as we saw the other day with Arik Kendricks, nothing's done until it's done, right?
Yes. And Arik Kendricks, I mean, he is a friend of the show. We thought we were going to have him on now that he's a Niner. And then Chris and I say goodbye, see each other at the game last night, and all of a sudden he's a Cowboy. So
strange.
Yes, we never know. And like we said, we are monitoring the situation. Also, may get to it today, may get to it tomorrow. There is a rumor going around of the Ravens being interested in Deebo Samuel. The Ravens have come out to say, you know, it's not true when the Ravens GM denies, which I'm being sarcastic here. That doesn't mean it's not true at all, but whether or not the Niners would entertain that, it'd have to be pretty, I mean, I don't know how juicy it would have to be, but I do know that's exactly what we talked about, Chris, as far as what Lamar needs, not to take away anything from his throwing, but a little here, just throw it to Deebo. Now you have Zay Flowers for the long ball. Yeah. You obviously have Mark Andrews,
Derrick Henry,
and then you have the median throws with Deebo. It makes sense.
it makes a lot of sense. I mean, yeah, Debo would be the perfect guy because, yeah, he doesn't require down-the-field throws. It's really just – I mean, yeah, oh, my gosh. Connection.
Chris is throwing his
penny. I'm just trying to conceptualize having Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, and then if they were to bring in Debo. I mean, those are three of, like, the most unique players in football, period. Mm-hmm. So for them to all be on the same field, it would be insane.
Yeah, yeah. But, again, the GM came out to deny it. As Mike Brown is denying that Keon Ellis should be in that starting lineup. Nice. We have a lot of calls to get through here, so let's get through them. I mean, the show has flown by, but we still got 45 minutes with you. Congrats to the winner of the Hasan Minhaj tickets as well. Let's get through these calls and get to your opinions on whether or not Keon Ellis should be starting. JR is up next, 916-339-1140. What's up, JR? What you got for us?
What's up, boys? As a coach of the Pleasant Grove High School, it's very sad to see Eric leave, but he's a great man. All, of course, Niner fans wish him the best.
Yes.
Yes.
But let's talk about the glorious day, the day after a Laker win.
Nothing better.
And the fact that we swept them. And let's talk about this weak sauce Laker program that they try to run down there. And do not tell me that 2020 was a real championship. I am so sick of hearing about that. And that didn't exist. That was Mickey Mouse, Bubble Land, not real season. AD with his weak butt brow going across his forehead has never won anything. Sabonis owns you. Literally, I'm sure he's right now probably mowing his lawn before he goes back to L.A. because he said, listen, by the way, before you leave here, AD, you need to mow my lawn. Because that's what he does to him, puts him in the mixer and sends him to the bottom of the grave. Oh, it's so nice to beat him. Let's put a fork in them, by the way.
Let's do it.
They'll slip it into 11th place before the end of the day. They're not even going to make the play-in.
We should have a funeral for them.
They're going to be regulated to the G League. That's what we do with them. Bye-bye.
Bye, JR. Thanks for the call, as always. I mean, it is pretty nuts to sweep a team. I say that, but the Pelicans have
Not yet.
Well, the Pelicans, and that'd be five. Technically, they've already been swept.
Yeah, that would be. Yeah, that's true. In every other season,
yes,
this would count as.
But the in season had different stakes, and
that's right.
The Kings aren't there yet. No. You can still avoid it, I guess. Technically, the Rockets
did sweep them,
but that was only three. Yeah. Or was that four?
That was three.
That was three. Yeah. So still not quite the same. But the Kings still have an opportunity. But it doesn't matter because they did sweep Tinseltown.
That's right.
They swept those. I saw that earlier on the text line. Kings, this is from the 5-3-4.
Wow.
Kings punking the Fakers and now just need to finish the sixth seed or higher to stay out of the play-in. That is right, 5-3-4. Let's hear from Ken, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Ken? You're on Styles and Watkins. What you got for us?
Yeah, what it do, gentlemen? What it do? How you feeling this afternoon?
Man, fantastic. Never better. What you got for us, Ken?
Hey, never better, man. Milwaukee and the Lakers, man. I just want to shout out real quick. I just want to say this to the fans out there who's calling in or texting in. You got to trust Mike Brown.
Yeah.
You don't trust him yet? Hey, man, we got to the third seed last year, man, and our team is consistently winning and balling and competing. You got to trust Mike Brown's decision. Guess what? He's in the locker room. He's at practice. He knows these guys' personalities. He knows these guys' skill set. And like you mentioned earlier, sometimes the starting squad, they start going off. We ain't going to change nothing because it looks good because that's his process. That's how he processes the game. I'm near the coaching. I'm near the team in every game. And I'm hearing the camaraderie. I'm hearing the togetherness. And I'm hearing the positivity in his coaching style. Man, they trust Mike Brown. And Sacramento, listen, we have to trust the process. Keon Ellis might start sometimes. He might not start. It's just the process. Trust in Mike Brown. And guess what? Man, Western Conference, I want to say champions, but I just want to say Western Conference. You got to get there. Go Kings.
Thanks for the call. Ken got them good seats.
I know, man.
Ken got them good seats.
You know what, though? That's where you find out all the good stuff, man. Yeah. That's what I found out. You know, I going down to some of the Stockton Kings games, it's like legitimately, I don't think there's a better value, honestly. It might look, the sticker shock might be a little scary, but getting next to the team benches or just being near the floor in general, completely different viewing experience. Being able to hear those guys mm-hmm. and also like just see how big they are, how crazy some of the moves, you can really see how fast De'Aaron Fox is. Those people have honestly the best perspective of what really goes on, because you get to hear those the huddles, you get to hear the guys on the bench, you get to see how everyone reacts. So I love to hear, you know, someone who is actually sitting next to the bench talking about how, you know, in the huddles, it's always positive, and you could see that those guys really do have each other's back. That's awesome.
Last but not least, let's get to TC. Our guy TC wants to be a part of the conversation. I know TC enjoyed these last two nights and these W's. What you got for us, TC?
Yeah, man, you're right. Hey, first and foremost, though, man, what's up, Alan, Chris?
Not too much, man.
Just enjoying the day, honestly.
Just vibing. You know what? Hey, I do love these last two wins. Like the last caller said, man, everybody just got to relax, man. Check it out. Hey, these last two games showed us a lot about this team and the togetherness, man, jumping on people. Got LeBron all online, losing his mind. AD can't mess with Sabonis. Keon, listen, I'm with Keon starting, but at the same time, Keon is cool where he's at, because moving forward, everybody can't lose their mind on it. Moving forward, bro, Malik's going to be the starter. If we move on from Herter this summer, Malik's going to jump into that spot, and Keon's going to take Malik's spot. Keon's not going to jump Malik. We can't forget about that. So that's how that situation is going to go, mm-hmm. in my opinion. Also, as far as the Lakers, bro, we swept them dudes, bro. The two callers before, he said it was a Mickey Mouse championship. I know he's just talking, but at the same time, if the Kings would have won that year, we wouldn't be talking about no Mickey Mouse championship, mm-hmm. bro. So let's stay humble and make big noise in the playoffs. We could talk. Y'all can talk. We could talk our smack, bro, but we're going to be one of the deadliest, humblest teams going into the playoffs, I promise you.
Thanks for the call, TC. Well said. As always, when we return, we react to the calls. We also give our opinions on whether or not Keon Ellis should stay in the starting lineup. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. All right, Chris, no more ducking and dodging.
Dip, duck, dive.
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a question. And we're not dodging anymore. I'll give you the choice. You can go first or I'll go first. Whether or not
I'll go first.
You believe or you think Keon Ellis should be in the starting lineup. Yeah. And no fence sitting.
No fence sitting, no. I'm trying to think how I want to phrase it, but I think ultimately I fall on the side of no. And I'm trying not to fence it. I'm going to fall on the side of no. And I'll just say this, and it's not much different than what I said before, but I just think that this Kings team, when they're at their best, they're a dynamite offense. Mm-hmm. And I think Kevin Herter brings them a lot closer to being an elite-level offense than Keon Ellis, who I think could bring this team defensively closer to where they want to be. But I just ultimately think that it might be, I don't want to say putting lipstick on a pig, because I do think Keon actually does, like we talked about earlier, I think there is an actual tangible energy mm-hmm. that you can pick up from him on the defensive end, and it can show itself in De'Aaron having an increased intensity as well on that end. So, you know, I just think that, yeah, Kevin Herter, if he's playing well, mm-hmm. I think just makes more sense for the identity of this team, what it is this season. Moving forward, that might be a different conversation.
Not moving forward.
But right here, right now.
You're not saying moving forward this season. You're saying next season.
Next season, past that.
So there's nothing that Keon Ellis could do, or it doesn't matter how cold Kevin Herter could get or hot Keon Ellis can be, you're sticking to that. You can change your opinion.
I wouldn't say that. I mean, obviously, if Keon starts dropping 15 and hitting multiple threes every single night,
boogieing like, on people,
as a different conversation completely. But with this is more so me projecting what I think Keon can do on a consistent basis. You know, I think that right now it really shows when he's having good games. It so far it's been all good. Mm-hmm. That's not the reality of situations. At some point, Keon Ellis is going to be in a starting lineup and it's going to go bad. We just don't know what that looks like. Like, we don't know how, and you know, some might say, hey, you know, you're 6-0. Like, it's about minimizing the times when you're going to be bad. But I just think, you know, everything looks good when everything's going well. But if the Kings are struggling in a playoff matchup, I don't know how much Keon Ellis is going to help them. Mm. And I feel like Kevin Huerter, again, ideally, if he's hitting his shots, that's a guy where he can bring you back in. He can win you a game. Kevin Huerter can straight up win you a game if he scores 20-plus points. Keon, I definitely think, contributed greatly to yesterday. Absolutely. And this isn't even about a either-or thing, because Keon's going to get minutes. But I just think in an ideal world, if you can get the best version out of Kevin Huerter in the same way right now, I think we're seeing the best version of Keon Ellis this season. Like, I think Keon still has a lot of room for development, but with where he's going to be at this year, I just think Kevin gives you a bit of a higher ceiling offensively, and I think that's just a little bit more important to this team right now.
I respect that.
Yeah.
I respect that. I really do.
Yeah.
And
you're not going to lean the same way.
Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on.
You're setting me up.
Hold on now. So you're going with Kevin Huerter.
I'm going with Kevin Huerter.
Based on how this team is presently constructed.
Yes, presently constructed.
So, where I'm at with this, I have the same answer as you, but it's for a different reason, and it's got a much shorter leash. By the way, one thing we haven't even discussed is that Kevin Huerter is questionable. This whole thing might take care of itself.
Right.
If Keon goes three, let's say Kevin Huerter, I think he'll be able to play on Saturday. That's a good amount of rest, yeah. Right? But if he can't go and Keon puts Brunson on Ellis Island and drops 10-plus again, now Mike Brown honestly has an out. Now he has an out. If that's the best ball that they've been playing.
Right.
Okay, but I'm not trying to avoid the question.
Right.
Did you see when De'Aaron Fox, he boogied and he went behind the back? Okay. All right. Fair enough. My answer is that if Kevin Huerter comes back on Saturday, he should start. But if it doesn't look good, I don't even really care what Keon does, because you're moving Keon around a lot. Mm-hmm. If Kevin Huerter doesn't look right, and let's say it results in a loss or it's a near loss because Kevin hasn't been able to do much, then I'm starting Keon Ellis next game. Kevin Huerter has one more game for me.
But then is it on a game-to-game basis then? Or is it Keon is the starter until he loses that spot?
I would rock with Keon until it looks really bad.
That's kind of big.
Yeah, I think that's
bad. It could look really bad in, you know, three, four games.
No,
but
sure.
I feel like I'm the type of person, you know, that wants to reward people.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I feel like Kevin Huerter has had opportunities time and time again. If you want to convince me that maybe, okay, because now he's coming off the injury, I'm just going back to the Kings schedule, and I get where they're at in the season. I get all that. If you want to convince me that you got to give Kevin, the problem is there's just not enough time. Because if you don't do it now, then you're not going to do it.
Exactly.
So to me, if you give Kevin, okay, give him three games, now you're down to dang near under 20 games. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to premiere something.
Right.
You need to do it now. So I would say it's a cold world. Kevin, let's see what you do against the Knicks. It's a Saturday night game, bright lights. We're still believing in you. If he does not play well on Saturday, I have that team meeting like Coach Mike Brown does, and I say, I'm riding with Keon. Now, I can be swayed on how long you ride. Now, to Chris's point, if you go with Keon, you can't go back because there's not enough time.
Right.
Because you got to now give Keon 3 to 5 games.
Yep.
So Kevin Huerter,
and you
got
to let Kevin adjust to being on the bench now.
So you got to rock with it the rest of the time. I give him one more game.
I will also say, I mean, I feel like I've been protecting Kevin a lot on today's show, but I will say that I do think to that side of the argument, you know, how much do the needs of Kevin Huerter outweigh the needs of the team? Like I've been saying all day, like, you know, you're going to kill Kevin. What if you kill Kevin Huerter's confidence? What if, you know, you end up losing him completely instead of just putting him in a reduced role? Well, you know what? Like, and again, I don't know how much I actually feel this way or if this is just kind of the hard reality of sports, it sounds like a Kevin Huerter problem, right? Like, I mean, if you feel like Keon Ellis is making your team better in total, and it's at the detriment of Kevin Huerter, who just can't figure it out in that new role, hey, man, like, what did LeBron say to Kevin Love? Fit in or fit out.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's sometimes the harsh reality of it is, you know, this man just kind of came in and took your job. And if you're not willing to adjust to this new role that you're being given, well, then we'll find somebody else who is better in that role.
It's the offense, you know, to me.
It's tough. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the harsh reality of it, and I don't know how much I personally feel that way, but I also just think that is something that does need to be thrown out there with this conversation is, you know, if Kevin gets benched, that's on Kevin to figure out, because mm-hmm. Mike Brown's just got to – he can't have Kevin's feelings over the wellness of the team. Mm-hmm. That's being selfish. That's playing favorites, and I don't think that's what Mike Brown's doing right now. I think he's – in damage control, he's trying to figure out how can I save this situation before it gets to that point. But I do think, you know, if things do get bad enough, to your point, if Kevin has a couple more stinkers, I don't know how you can look in that locker or walk into that locker room and say, hey guys, I know we lost tonight, but like, you know, we just gotta try harder. Like, everyone's gonna look around and say, how about you play this dude who's clearly mm-hmm. earning the time over giving this guy the benefit of the doubt? Maybe it's because of money. Maybe it's because you like Kevin the person. Whatever your reason is, you can't really play favorites, because in a locker room, especially of in competition like they are right now, those guys are going to weed that out. They're going to smell it out, and they're going to say, does Mike Brown have my best interest in mind, or does he just have Kevin's interest in mind? Because it feels like he's picking and choosing there. So I do think that's a part of this conversation that might need to be brought up too.
Yeah, and to me, it's not about the stat line, because I think Kevin Herter's stat line will reflect the minutes. It's about the minutes. If right. Kevin Huerter gets pseudo benched as he has mm-hmm. before, right. and he's under, what do we say, under 25
under,
minutes?
Definitely under 20 for sure.
Under 20, of course. Yeah. So let's go with under 23 minutes. Sure. If you are not able to be out there for 23 minutes, yeah. you do not need to be starting that game. And like I said, we'll see what happens. It's plenty of opportunity. I just think if you are going to make a change, which honestly, we've spent majority of this show through the lens of Coach Mike Brown. This is just me and Chris breaking it down before crosstalk and what we would do if we had to stand at that podium yeah. and make those decisions. We do not. We just get to sit here and talk about it.
Yep.
I don't think a change is going to happen. I do not think. Let me repeat. I do not think a change is going to happen.
Yeah.
If this is what I would do, I would give Kevin another game. And if it's under 23 minutes, I would say, all right, Keon, it's go time.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, if I were Mike Brown and I felt like, you know, there is a timetable or a timeline on how much time I have, like if I'm understanding that, you know, I could be fired, but not this season, but I, you know, these decisions could have ramifications, I would definitely start to, it's really shocking to me that Mike Brown is just completely saying, no, this is not even a part of the conversation. And again, maybe he's saying that just to cover Kevin, but I just don't think that Mike Brown, realistically, when put in that situation, this dude, Keon, is playing so well, and Kevin has struggled all season long. Mm-hmm. I don't see how you can't have your thought process.
And to me, off the top of my head, I don't know what Kevin Herter's season high is. I would assume, did he get to 30 this season? He got to 30 once.
Maybe, yeah.
So, to me, it's not like you're waiting for, hey, this could be the day it's a Kevin Huerter flamethrower, right? We're sitting here happy that he's getting to 15 points.
Right.
So if you were waiting for a flamethrower and at any point this guy could go off for a 40 burger, that's different.
Right.
That's different. All right. When we get back, it is time for crosstalk for Whitey Gleason to tell us how good or how bad of a job we've done during this show for the last 4 hours. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Kevin Huerter.
Joined by the one, the only.
Where?
Whitey Gleason to
what a
close
day.
Our show. And
what a day.
their show, the Drive Guys, as you begin your drive home. You know what is, you know, I'm just going to deviate real quick.
Oh, yeah.
What is rush hour nowadays? Like post pandemic, it's about 3 o'clock, right?
Feels like 3:30, maybe 4:30.
Yeah,
kind of starts, but I feel like usually the 5 o'clock traffic is still a thing.
Okay,
right?
It's still bad at 5. I feel like it's all earlier now.
Heading towards like Roseville and stuff, it's pretty bad. Mm-hmm. It kind of bottlenecks around Arden too, but mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, Sacramento, it does get some traffic. I mean, you'll head towards West Sac too. I mean, honestly, yeah, 5 o'clock, it's kind of a mess.
Okay, everywhere. I guess I'm just yeah. I guess we get pretty lucky then because I know sometimes like on Friday it'll be earlier because people are leaving the office earlier. So
do you guys feel that in your show? Do you feel like
that's a good one.
Feel drive time still as a thing?
Yeah, I don't know. It's something I don't think about. I just remember years and years and years ago when they started, they changed the way, you know, they figured out who was listening and they decided afternoons is bigger than mornings. We didn't think that before. And I don't even know if that's still true.
Right.
It's, you know, it's like, okay, I don't know. Because, I don't know. I don't even know why.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if it's true.
I mean, I don't even
I don't think about it that
much. To your point, like with the pandemic, like post-pandemic, I think everybody's kind of just available all the time.
Right.
Like, you know, there's so many people who work from home.
With computers and everything.
That's right. Exactly. That's right. YouTube, the lap have us on.
Tops. Well, you know who was driving the W bus last night? That was one Keon Ellis. Whitey, are you prepared for the conversations about whether or not Keon should be in the starting lineup?
Yeah, I think I would start him, but he's not going to start.
That's essentially
pretty much where we fell as well.
Yeah.
And Mike Brown is basically just telling us that.
No, he is telling us that.
He's saying stop asking.
Yeah.
He's saying stop asking.
Yeah.
What'd you think of De'Aaron's answer to you yesterday? I thought that was a great question. We actually talked about it as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thanks.
But just like, yeah, I mean, Keon's energy defensively, I'll just ask you the question you asked De'Aaron. Do you feel like his energy has, you know, an effect, like a tangible effect on other players?
It seems like it. You know, defense is so hard to measure. And I know you, like I do, you check Basketball Reference all the time. And there's so many metrics for defense, and they're just guesses.
Yeah.
You know, how many points did he score? Well, I'll show you. How good is he playing defense? I don't know. This says this, and that says that. So it's interesting to get the view of a player.
Right.
And I notice every time De'Aaron talks about Keon or Davion, what it's like on the floor, though, man. He just leans into the mic, and his eyes kind of get big. He's like, oh, yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they need it. They desperately need it. I mean, they don't have anybody really who guards the point of attack the way they do. And, I mean, you know, I think that in a way we've talked about all year how those offseason additions didn't really pan out for this team. And Keon's kind of like a breath of fresh air. He's like that influx of talent that I think they were hoping to get from guys in the offseason, but you're getting it now in the last 18 games of the season.
It's incredible to me that over the last couple games, and I know it's a small sample size and we can't get carried away, which I always do, but the defense all of a sudden is like, well, they actually have some positives defensively.
Right.
With the way Davion again and Keon are playing, as far as putting pressure on the ball, which to me, that's like a pass rush in football.
Right.
You know, and they haven't had a pass rush at all.
Right.
People have been picking them apart. Now, all of a sudden, last couple games, like, wow, they may have something. They're really something that's disrupting guys like not only D'Angelo Russell, but Dame.
Yeah. The Dame situation and getting put on Ellis Island was outstanding. What's it called?
What was that?
It's my nickname.
Oh.
For Keon
Statue
Ellis.
Of Liberty? I don't.
His name is Ellis.
Yeah. You but Ellis Island is where the Statue of Liberty is.
Yeah, I know. But now it's this as well.
It's like Revis Island, you know?
That's right.
I know, but But Ellis Island is a real thing.
It is.
Yeah.
So I struggled with whether it would work or not, but it's working so far.
I'm giving you a hard time.
It's working so far.
Just wait for them to play the Knicks. That's when it
that's
really
right.
Hit. That's when it
that's
really
right. Yeah. They left them out there, and I just keep adding people to my meme, just more and more players. What is this called? You know how they say the backup QB is the most popular player on the team?
Yep.
What is this situation called? And obviously, it's not as unique, right? The only time it comes up is if your starting QB isn't a stud. But it is your sixth man is always the most popular guy on the team because there's multiple. And it's just going to take a while for fans to get over it. We finally, every blue moon, once in a blue moon, we'll see start Malik Monk. But fans have finally stopped asking about starting
They've
Malik
stopped,
Monk.
But it's still there. I mean, we just a couple days ago, we had another, and I understand it, but, you know, another avalanche of all that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Malik Monk, why isn't he starting?
Yeah, but do you think, obviously, it's, it doesn't happen as much as football, but do you think a lot of teams deal with what the Kings are dealing with? Especially, I would assume, especially teams probably under that four seed. Does every team have a guy or two guys that start that, man, why can't we start this person over that guy?
Well, I don't think so.
Okay.
I can't speak to other teams, but I'll tell you, it's been a thing here for as long as I can remember. There's always somebody who can always, I mean, especially in the drought years, it's like there's always somebody who's not playing who can fix everything. It's been Mo Harkless. Chimezie Metu was that guy for a while. I mean, here.
Ray McCallum. You
know, Ray McCallum. Hey, no, you're on to something there. Ray McCallum, that last stint, I still have hope for Ray McCallum. Okay. So I'm not giving up. But yeah, no, truly. I mean, it, if anything, I could speak to it here. And it's definitely been a thing here where, you know, I feel like I still have it in my brain. The Kings were like 14-2 a couple seasons ago when Mo Harkless played over 25 minutes or so. Like, fans will always have, to your point, there will always be a guy where it's like, look at these numbers. Yeah. When he Davion Mitchell has 5+ assists,
right,
the Kings are undefeated. And it's
I think it is a thing.
The way I would answer your question, to me, it's something that fans of teams that are believed to be like underachieving a little bit, they're always looking, because they're always looking, what's wrong? Mm-hmm. And the Kings, even though, you know, they've had a really good season, they've been one of those teams this year where people are still thinking, there's another gear there, what's wrong? So anytime fans are like, what's wrong with this team? The coach is terrible, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, this guy should be starting. That's kind of just part of fandom.
Why do you kind of got the gears going in my brain when you talked about the Kings kind of finding this pass rush with the ball pressure that they found with playing Davion and Keon? And maybe I'm giving Mike Brown way too much credit on this, but, like, you know, it makes me think that last year, this team in the last week of the season just randomly rolled out Alex Len and then rolled that into the playoffs. Am I giving Mike Brown too much credit by saying, has this not been an ace in his sleeve, but, like, is there anything, like, did they truly stumble upon this? Or is there a chance that maybe, you know, Mike Brown always knew, hey, break in case of emergency?
He doesn't get enough credit, right? I mean, I really think that, so I don't have a problem with giving him too much credit about anything.
Exactly.
Because he should be getting more.
He really should.
Yeah.
And it really just breaks down to how many guys can you have on the court that can defend but also make
five
shots.
Five is the answer.
Five is the answer. Five. And with that, the Drive guys are up next. Thank you for listening to Styles and Watkins. Thank you to Simone. Congrats to our winner. Thanks to all the callers today. It was great. Sack Chat, everyone. And until tomorrow, secure the bag, light the beam.